This is Global Review on Hard Facts.
Once a week, we let Nigeria breathe a bit. And instead, we look at the biggest international stories of the week. Before now, it's been every Friday at 3, but from last week, our global review have started at this time slot, Thursdays at 4 now. This week, we're looking once again at the military coup in Niger Republic, the lapsed ultimatum from ECOWAS, and the response from the international community. I've got two guests on the show. One of them is a regular. One of them is a freelance journalist currently in Niamey, Omar Hamasale. Omar, thank you for joining us. Welcome to Hard Facts in Lagos.
Thank you.
All right.
To you.
Okay. And then my second guest is a regular every global review day or Big Three Global Day. He's an analyst, Chief Andy Oboforibo. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sandra. Hello, Omar.
Lagos, let's also hear from you. What questions or comments do you have about the unfolding situation in Niger? Call me on 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Omar, talk to me about the current mood in Niamey at the moment. From outside here in Nigeria, especially in Lagos, we're getting conflicting reports about how everyday people are responding to the current situation. But you're in Niamey. What are you witnessing?
Thank you so much. Also, maybe I prefer to speak in French because my English is it's very bad.
Okay, so
it's very bad.
So go ahead and speak in French. Thankfully, Chief Oboforibo speaks fluent French, and so he will interpret for us. Go ahead.
Okay, so about the situation, la situation à Niamey, elle est, comment dire, elle est calme. Des Nigériens attendent de se soumettre de la CEDEAO une solution à travers un dialogue parce que les gens avaient rejeté l'option militaire qui est dans l'esprit des gens carrément inacceptable. Mais ce qu'il faut savoir, c'est que beaucoup de gens pense que la CEDEAO joue sa crédibilité sur cette crise nigérienne parce que par le passé, la CEDEAO est considérée comme une institution qui a échoué au Mali, qui a échoué au Burkina Faso. Et si jamais il n'y a pas de solution au Niger, le problème peut s'étaler demain au Nigeria. Et donc, les gens ici, ils pensent que le président Tinubu a tout intérêt, avec ses autres pairs, à trouver une solution pour que ça soit définitive cette histoire de coup d'État qui gangrène le pays d'État africain.
Okay, Chief, what did he say?
Well, yes, he said the situation in Niamey right now is quite calm. The people of Niger and Niamey have rejected the notion of military intervention or a military resolution. They are looking to come up with a diplomatic, peaceful solution by negotiation. Everybody might act that ECOWAS sort of failed in previous coups in the region. And so now there is a strong interest with Niger Republic being a border country to Nigeria. And Tinubu, as the chairman of ECOWAS, he has a vested interest in making sure that this particular situation is handled properly. A military intervention will not be good for Nigeria or other ECOWAS countries. And so, but this is an opportunity for ECOWAS to sort of show the way forward and build a blueprint that could prevent military coups in the future. Omar, I hope I've done justice to what you had to say.
Okay. Help me. So here's what I want to know next. And this is something you could help me translate for him as well, Chief, if Omar has a bit of a problem understanding what I'm saying. So ECOWAS initially gave the Niger military a 7-day ultimatum to return President Bazoum to office. The ultimatum has expired with no result. Now, the president, Nigeria's president, Bola Tinubu, is telling the other ECOWAS leaders that negotiations and diplomacy should come first. Did ECOWAS jump the gun by going for the stick before the carrot? Would you need Chief to translate for you, Omar, or can you talk to me?
Oui, effectivement, non, j'ai compris. I understand.
Okay.
My English is the problem is when I give the answer.
Oh, okay.
It's no problem.
All right, fantastic.
Okay, so oui, effectivement, l'espoir se repose également, comme je disais tantôt, sur la CEDEAO pour pouvoir établir le président Bazoum à ses fonctions. Mm-hmm. Peut-être dans l'esprit des diplomates ici, des sociologues, des gens qui sont considérés comme des gens qui sont des experts dans les questions diplomatiques, et pensent également que la CEDEAO a trop tardé par rapport à ces problèmes, notamment par rapport aux questions de la résolution, puisque de ce côté, la junte ne donne même pas un espoir à la CEDEAO. Elle rejette toute demande de la CEDEAO, tout comme elle a rejeté les propositions des États-Unis il y a hier avec la secrétaire d'État américaine qui a passé une courte visite ici à Niamey avec une proposition sur la table. La junte a refusé ça. Elle refuse aussi de s'ouvrir à la CEDEAO. Et donc, on est actuellement en train de se diriger vers le scénario Mali, le scénario Burkina, où tout est ferme. On veut rester indépendant, on veut changer de partenaire. Et je pense que là, en tout cas, il y a peu d'espoir, en tout cas, dans l'atmosphère nigérienne, que ça soit...
Oh, that's unfortunate. We have a bit of a break in transmission there. That's the internet getting in the way there, but hopefully he is able to rejoin. But Chief, let's talk about what he's already mentioned. Chief?
Yes, so talking about a loss of confidence, a loss of hope in the process. I think maybe ECOWAS overplaying their hand a bit. Mm-hmm. And we have also seen the intransigence of the regime in Niamey. They've also rejected all the resolutions and being put forward by the American diplomatic contingent as well. Mm-hmm. And there is, like, I think he was saying, the sentiment among, you know, analysts, sociologists, experts on the ground there, is like this is heading towards the type of situation we saw in Mali, we saw in Burkina Faso, and there is also a sentiment among the people about change in allegiances, change in partnerships and alliances, mm-hmm. Which is, of course, part of what's fueling the situation here. And that's kind of where it broke off.
Okay. I do have to ask, though, about the videos we're seeing from Niger, filled with people who seem to be in support of the coup, who seem to be in support of the military junta. What's happening there? Because if you say that the situation on the ground is that people do not want this, how come we're seeing the videos of people who seem to be celebrating this? Omar?
Come again?
So we're seeing videos on social media, Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, of Nigerians who seem to be celebrating the military junta, who seem to be in support of the coup that has happened. But you mentioned to us earlier that the situation on ground is not one of support. That the situation on ground is
not one of support for military
intervention. That's what I mean. Yeah. So the people on ground do not want a military intervention. They want ECOWAS to step in and mediate. So it's a bit confusing. So what's happening with those videos?
Vous m'entendez? Bon. Yes, en fait, le problème, je pense que ce qu'il faut comprendre à cela, pour moi, j'ai toujours qualifié ce feuilleton de coup d'État comme une fièvre qui a commencé par le Mali, qui a contaminé le Burkina et qui, évidemment, est en train vient de contaminer le Niger. Alors, je vais dire ici, les autres États comme le Tchad et le Nigeria, ils n'ont qu'à faire attention aussi, parce que si jamais on dit la barre de ton voisin prend feu, il faut essayer de mettre de l'eau dans la tienne. Et donc les gens, au tout début, ils ont développé des sentiments anti-français ou des sentiments anti-occidentaux. Parce que la manière de coopérer avec ces États coloniaux devrait changer. Et donc, la diplomatie doit jouer son rôle dans ce sens. Mais évidemment, les sentiments pro-russes a gagné du terrain entre-temps, parce que nous n'avons pas, les gens n'ont pas trouvé de solution depuis le Mali. Aujourd'hui, c'est arrivé au Niger. Actuellement, à Niamey, vous avez beaucoup de maisons sur lesquelles vous trouverez des drapeaux russes et des drapeaux nigériens accroché. Et c'est là pour que les gens ils sont engagés en tout cas à changer de partenaire, et le partenaire que les gens souhaiteraient avoir, c'est certainement la Russie avec le groupe Wagner. Et les gens ici, ils ont félicité la prise de pouvoir par les militaires avec des t-shirts en drapeau russe et nigérien. Et d'autres ont confectionné rapidement des tapis avec moitié drapeau russe, moitié drapeau nigérien. Et partout, les gens vont te dire, nous on préfère les Russes parce que les Français, on en a marre, ils ont pillé nos ressources, ils n'arrivent pas à nous faire des choses. Et c'est, voilà, ils sont à la marre, c'est eux qui dirigent les représentants de la CEDEAO, c'est eux qui dirigent les régions déçu, et nous on a faim, dans la vie coûte cher, les choses, l'insécurité. Il ne faut pas perdre de vue la question de l'insécurité qui a fait en sorte que les Nigériens ont perdu un grand nombre dans les rangs des soldats. Et donc c'est là, toute cette histoire, tous ces problèmes se sont accumulés en un seul problème, même si par ailleurs, il ne faut pas oublier que le putschiste actuel était issu de l'ancien régime. Il a été, comment on appelle, aussi un élève de l'ancien régime. Et maintenant, pour beaucoup de citoyens, est-ce qu'il faut porter l'espoir en lui, ou c'est un jeu de poker que les gens jouent avec, que les politiciens et les putschistes jouent avec la population? Et en tout cas, quant à l'avenir du pays, les gens se posent beaucoup de questions ici.
I see. Chief?
Yeah, great. So, he started off by saying that one has to be careful, and he has tried to be careful in analyzing this, what he calls his soap opera of coups in West Africa,
okay,
from Mali, Burkina Faso into here. There are lots of factors involved, which would lead to seeing that like massive groundswell of support we're seeing in those videos in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about it has to always be viewed through the geopolitical context,
okay,
and that switch of alliances and friendships, moving away from France and the West,
okay,
towards Russia and the Wagner Group.
Okay.
And this is not just, this is due to real tangible reasons on the ground for the people of Francophone West Africa, especially in these countries, Mali, Burkina Faso, and now Niger Republic. So it talks about the economic situation there and the role France has played in the economy and the fiscal position of these countries. And so how France is seen as like, it's the reputation of France is inextricable from the hardships and the problems that people in these countries face on the ground, because France has been their ally for so many decades. And yet, this is the outcome, even in security. Because remember, these countries, just like us in Nigeria, are facing the are facing insurgencies, and they've been fighting these insurgencies. The security situation has been degrading over time. Well, who has been the major partner on security of these West African states? It's been France. Mm. So there is an idea also, there's a frustration with the security situation, which is also translating to a frustration with France. And there's a belief and an idea out there that Russia, it has been a better partner. Wagner Group has been more effective in these issues. And so change in orientation away from West and from France, mm-hmm. towards Russia. Mm-hmm. And that is translating to a lot of the celebrations you are seeing, mm-hmm. when you have this military group, these coup plotters who have come out and have embraced Russia and Wagner so openly. Mm-hmm. He talks about, if you go around Niamey right now, you see lots of houses with flags, and they're flying the Niger flag and the Russian flag. Mm. People are making like materials and cloths with half the Niger flag, half the Russian flag. They say a big embrace to this. But of course, he adds a caveat, which is that at the end of the day, this military, like now, the Chani, who is the head of the military junta now, was a disciple of the past administration, of the civilian administration. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of ways, this is still also a game, as he puts it, between the military regime and the civilian leadership. Mm-hmm. And it's just the citizens of the country who are ultimately the victims and the ones most affected. But they, as they see things right now, feel that their interests are best served by Russia and Wagner and this group of military rulers who are aligned with them.
I see. Okay. Now, Chief, unfortunately, we have a break coming up, but I do want to come to you with my next question. We have Chiani refusing to meet with the official ECOWAS delegation led by Abdusalam Abubakar, but he did meet with Emir Mohammed Sanusi II of Kano. What signal do you believe he's trying to send there? That's also a question that I'll be asking Omar as well when we come back from this commercial break. Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. This is Global Review. On Global Review, we're letting Nigeria breathe a bit, and we're looking at the biggest international stories of the week. But today, we are focusing again on the coup in Niger Republic. I've got a freelance journalist who is currently in Niamey joining us on the show, Omar Hama Saleh, and he's here talking to us about the situation in Niger. Chief Andy Oboforiwo is our regular guest every time we have to go global, and he's thankfully a French speaker, and so it just works out serendipitously that he's on the show today, he's available today, and he's able to have this conversation with us. But Omar, c'est bon what he's talking about?
This is Global Review on Hard Facts.
And today we're in Niger again discussing the military coup there. I've had a journalist from Niger join me, freelance journalist, currently in Niamey, Omar Hama Saleh. He was on the show with us before the break, but now it's just Chief Andy Oboforiwo and I, and we will see the rest of the hour through, and then we'll switch over to Nigeria's National Assembly and all of the interesting things that come out of the National Assembly. Now, Chief, before the break, thank you, by the way, for sticking with us. I know that break was a long one. But before the break, I was talking to you about the refusal of Chiani, the main coup plotter in Niger, to meet with official ECOWAS, the official ECOWAS delegation that was led by Abdusalam Abubakar. He, however, met with Emir Mohammed Sanusi II of Kano. What signal do you believe he's trying to send there?
On doit pas être étonné que. Okay. I'm sorry.
Did you start speaking French?
I apologize. Okay. We're still talking during the break. Sorry.
Sorry, English now. Speak English now. Thank you. All right. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think we should be too surprised that happened. I think even like Omar said before we went on break, mm-hmm. The coup plotters refused to meet with ECOWAS. Mm-hmm. They also refused to meet with the Americans, at least not officially, not in front of cameras, not in front of, like, there has been no official meeting. Mm-hmm. That's not ruling out the very high likelihood that there are lots of back channel conversations going on, you know, because that's what usually happens in situations like this. Mm-hmm. So it was clear that for the sake of optics, especially with the whole, you know, Sankara thing that the coup plotters are doing, there was not going to be an in front of the cameras meeting with Abdusalam Abubakar or, you know, with the U.S. Undersecretary of State. That was just not going to happen. At the same time, for those same optics reasons, and that's also a negotiating position also, mm-hmm, beyond mm-hmm. the optics. It's also a negotiating position.
Okay.
Because now that hands out something for the coup plotters to give out later on as a concession.
Right.
We didn't meet with you at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Now we can meet with you because you've done one or two things. So mm-hmm. it's a part of negotiation, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But beyond that, there's also the optics layer of it, like I said, in Sankara. Mm-hmm. Then now think about the optics of either accepting a meeting with the emir or rejecting a meeting with the emir. Mm-hmm. Because let's not forget, we have these large, very strong cultural and ethnic ties mm-hmm. on both sides of this border, right?
That's right.
So mm-hmm. even our immediate past president
That's
kept
right.
on saying that if we disturb him here, he will go to Niger Republic and live there because he's really from there.
So this is right.
Yes, you know, our ethnicities are older than the borders that the Europeans drew.
Right.
So the emir of Kano, or the former emir of Kano, is a figure of cultural significance, and that's an apolitical position.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been very bad optics to, if the emir says he's coming, to not see the emir. It mm-hmm. would have been very bad optics at a time where the coup plotters are doing their best to keep and grow the acceptance and air of legitimacy mm-hmm. they have on their side of the mm-hmm. border. So mm-hmm. so I'm not surprised by that. In fact, I'm surprised that ECOWAS didn't do this first, if anything.
Oh, speaking of doing this first, this is a question I asked Omar when he was here, and I'm asking you as well. Did ECOWAS jump the gun by going for the stick before the carrot?
I think it's just that there's no gainsaying it. Like, Teddy Roosevelt, more than 100 years ago said, walk softly but carry a big stick.
Right.
Right. That's what you do in diplomacy, in these international relations.
Right.
You walk softly, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have that big stick. And then the big stick, everybody knows the big stick is there. But you don't deploy the big stick before you walk softly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And ECOWAS sort of just went the other way around. Carry a big stick. And then you hear, hey, and then mm-hmm. nobody moves. The big stick doesn't shake them. Mm-hmm. Then you now start walking softly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like somebody said, okay, I'm going to fight you now. Then now I'm about to start fighting. The other person isn't moving.
Mm-hmm.
Then you now start telling the crowd, hold me, oh, hold me. Oh. Like, I mean, just at I'm breaking it down to that very basic level. Because
right.
let's understand that as with people fighting in the market, so with countries fighting on the world stage.
Right.
You don't put an ultimatum on the table unless you're willing to go through with the ultimatum.
Right.
Right. And that's why for the last 100 years, we even run it on more since 1918, since the end of World War One.
Yes.
You try to avoid issuing ultimatums. Ultimatums are what led us to World War One.
Right.
Because no side could be seen to back down after issuing ultimatums. So that's what led to like this domino effect of everyone declaring war on each other.
Right.
You know, or because of ultimatums, Austria-Hungary had to declare war on Serbia, and then Russia had to declare war on Austria, then Germany had to declare war on Russia, and then France had to declare war on Germany, and then Germany had to now invade France, and that meant passing through Belgium, and because of an alliance and an ultimatum, that means England had to declare war on them. Mm. Before you know, the whole world is at war. So because of that, and this is a lesson from 1918, before any of us were born,
mm-hmm.
and so we've known for that over 100 years that, look, don't issue ultimatums unless you're ready to go in there guns blazing. So the moment I heard that ECOWAS is giving them, and 7 days, like 7 days is too short a time. Everybody knows that you can't mobilize in 7 days.
What do you think happened there? What do you think happened there?
I think that ECOWAS thought they could just basically bluff these guys and these guys would back down. Mm-hmm. I think Bola Tinubu for a moment thought he was Olusegun Obasanjo. And that was just simply, but you're not him, right? Like, we all have this myth of Obasanjo, like, oh, they say, cool, so Tommy picks up his phone and says, look, if you people don't go back to the barracks, we're going to come there and we're going to show you something. And everybody like, hey, Nigeria wants to come. But we are not who we were 20 years ago, right?
Right.
We are fighting serious internal insurgency. Right. Even without that, we have a degraded military.
Right.
And everybody knows that. These guys didn't just do this coup without thinking about all of these things, right?
Right.
And we hear that they're working with the Russians, they're working with Wagner. They've thought about these things, right?
Right?
But then again, people make foolish decisions. After all, even this same Russia foolishly went into Ukraine.
Right.
So I guess every day, today it's just Nigeria or ECOWAS system to make a foolish mistake on the world stage.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is.
It is what it is. Now, ECOWAS has met with Algeria and Libya to try and get a united front. How successful have those negotiations been? How likely are they to yield some results with Tchiani?
So, I think it's mixed. That's my personal opinion.
Okay.
Because if you see, okay, Libya seems very, yes, we are with you, we must stop this. But that's like when, you know, you're going to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and all of us, you know, those of us, you know, when we're in school, you're going to go and fight. And you're calling your friend. Friend say, yes, I'm coming to fight with you. But this is your friend that is coming. You know, say you shall be fight passer.
Mm.
And you self fear they catch you for where you won't go fight. And you look at your friend like, come now, you will go help me. Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Libya has its own problem,
right.
Its own internal problems.
Right.
But definitely, I think if we can get like a coalition, right, of like Morocco, Libya, Algeria, all these countries around here,
mm-hmm.
like, because at the end of the day, what you want to do is isolate the junta without isolating them. Isolating them in the sense that they know they don't have really a lot of backing, but also that there's a way back, right? But honestly, it remains to be seen if Algeria and Libya are the ones to really apply that pressure. By the way, the Algerian head of state did not meet the ECOWAS delegation. Sent, I think it was a foreign minister who met with them.
Mm-hmm.
So already that's also a signal.
A signal,
right?
Yes.
So, yes, so that's because that means that the Algerians want to give themselves the wiggle room to later turn around and change their mind.
Yes, okay.
Well, you know, so, right. So, like, it's good. I wish we had been doing this
before the ultimatum. But now the president, right. You know, is telling other ECOWAS leaders that negotiations and diplomacy should come first. Now, here's something for you to think about while I bring Lagos information about how they can win some money. What leverage does ECOWAS have in the event of negotiations, especially given that we've mouthed off, we've given this ultimatum, we've now walked it back because that's what this Oles negotiate thing means? What leverage do we have? Think about that for a bit. Let me tell you, Lagos, how you can win some money with 200 Naira, yes?
Lagos, don't forget that you too can join the winning team and you can win yourself some good money here on Nigeria Info, because there's a total of 150,000 Naira just waiting for you to win it here on oneplay.ng, okay? And it's to be given out every single day. So literally, you could just be the lucky one and win yourself some of that good cash. All you have to do is dial the code *347*880*3#. *347*880*3# and specify your number of entries. Remember that I said you're not restricted. You can play as many times as you want to. Okay. So after you do that, you choose your bank, you choose one to continue, and then you receive an SMS with instructions to make payments. Once all that is done and you've completed your transaction, all you have to do is sit back and listen into the live draw on WhatsApp Lagos from 11:15 a.m. to 11:25, on Game On from 8:15 p.m. to 8:25, on Chat Station from 10:15 a.m. to 10:25 p.m. every weekday. And remember that once the system picks your number, you might have won the cash prize of the day. That's it. It's just that easy, okay? All you have to do is dial *347*880*3# with just 200 Naira. That's all you have to do. And follow the prompts. Remember that I said you can play as many times as you like, but do not forget to play responsibly.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, Chief Andy Obofurbo, my final question to you, and then we'll call it a day today until next week, Thursday. What leverage does ECOWAS have in the event of negotiations?
Well, the leverage now is really like, well, there are sanctions in place, right? The question, of course, is how long can the junta hold out with those sanctions in place? Mm-hmm. I don't know if those sanctions are biting their pinching. They're biting and pinching on both sides, but the ECOWAS's hope is that it's pinching Niamey more than it's pinching in, say, Abuja. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would have been better if these sanctions were not coexisting with a lapsed 7-day ultimatum. But basically, what Tinubu was saying today at ECOWAS was like, who never give wrong ultimatum, hands in the air. And, like, it happened, you know. So, yeah, that's where we are now. So let's see if the sanctions are enough for leverage. Clearly, the international pressure doesn't seem to be bothering the junta much. As Omar was saying, they're in with Russia now. They think that's going to be fine for now. Let's see. Let's see what leverage France has on them, you know, at the end of the day as well. And let's see if the popular support, which they are projecting that they have internally, is really as much as they say, or whether there are other factors at work. I really don't have visibility on that, and you wouldn't catch me commenting one way or the other.
All right, Chief, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. We appreciate it. We'll see you maybe next week, Thursday.
Thank you, Sandra.
All right, Lagos 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. You can actually share a thought with me on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. I'm wondering if I even have time to take calls. So actually, I don't. Okay, sorry for teasing you like that. I'm sorry for teasing you like that. I don't have time to take calls. But stay here, because up next is Eyes and A's. On Eyes and A's, we'll take a look back at the ministerial screening that was. We'll take a look at why it's taking a minute for El Rufai to get his security clearance and be cleared to be a minister. We'll talk about the tokens and prayers that Senator Akpabio talked about, the Senate President talked about. We'll also talk about what we can do in the next 4 years, so that by the time, and I'm talking practical steps now, so that by the time we all gather for another screening process, what we saw in the past few days, last week and this week, we will not see it again. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Thanks for being a part of Global Review on Hard Facts. Up next, Eyes and Nays.